Is this Genesis or just Phil Collins?
This is Genesis.
Yeah.
Hot sun.
I think this might be the worst Genesis song ever made.
I love this song.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
I think, you know what?
That's great. That's cool.
I love the production on it. It's got a nice edge. Got a kind of a sonic, techno-y bite to it mixed with the rock. I think it's a great song.
I thought this was just the most derivative, time of pandering time, the music song. I'm a old school Lamb Lies Down on Broadway tale Genesis fan.
I see it differently. I think this is a brilliantly satirical song. See, I like things that are basically smartassery.
That's cool. No, that's great. I love that.
That's why I love it.
No, that's cool. See, folks, that's how we can disagree respectfully. We did that. Genesis and Phil Collins aren't threatening democracy. We just played that out for you folks at home to see how disagreement can be fun and civil. No, I'm kidding. I do hate that song.
I'll be sure to play it more often.
I know. It's going to be our new bumper music. Is that on the same one as Land of Confusion? What album is that? It's not Abacab, is it?
Let's see. No, it was on an album called We Can't Dance, 1991. It had 91. Jesus, He Knows Me on there.
Okay.
I Can't Dance, No Son of Mine.
Gotcha.
Hold On My Heart.
Whole bunch of classics, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Matt. I'm glad you like that song, buddy. I really am.
That was one for me.
Hey, you know what we haven't talked about all night when we should? Is what's going on in China. Because it matters to you, me, and every other American. For multiple reasons. First off, if you haven't heard, China's got a zero COVID policy, and they've had these massive forced government lockdowns because, China drives the world's economy, and it's not that they're the major player in the global economy, but they're a major producer in the global economy. One of the reasons that there weren't enough microchips in this country to make the cars we buy or need, or whatever appliances, everything's driven by microchips these days. It's all electronics. And when China has to shut down production because of massive COVID outbreaks, it cripples the world's economy. So China has been cracking down in pure Chinese fashion on the protesting citizens. Citizens have been protesting en masse against these forced government lockdowns. And, look how bad we got as Americans when they just tried to make us err on the side of caution, wear a mask, seek a vaccine to stop the mortality rate of an unknown global pandemic. We went bat shrimp crazy. We went sideways as a nation. We were being told by one social media or one media outlet, major media outlet, that it was all bunk. We were being told that the masks were oppressive and useless and blah, blah. And we got mixed information from our should-be reliable sources, the CDC, the Department of Health, whatever it might have been, because they were learning as it went, as we moved forward and gained more information. That's how science works. You gain new information, you reevaluate your position, you come up with a better thesis, a better outlook on things, a learned outlook on things. In China, they lock them down. They shut down the economy. Well, there's protests in China, massive protests in China. And that uncertainty caused by to the global economy, caused by massive government shutdowns and massive government protests in China, caused the U.S. stock market today to take quite a tumble. I'm not sure what the final loss was today. I think it was down maybe 400 and some points today, which is a pretty big loss. The stock market has kind of rebounded of late. We've had better numbers in the last few weeks than we probably expected. The stock market climbed, pretty good. Got up into the almost, in the 33,000 range. Down from up from like 32 something about a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Anyway, it tumbled today because of the global uncertainty of China's situation, given their protests and their government lockdown. Plus the fact that we all love to, and we have the right to bitch about the government. If you're against the party in charge, even if when it's really going well, if you're for the party in charge, you still bitch about what they do wrong. That's kind of how you know we're healthy, is that you don't just blindly accept everything your party does because they got your letter next to it. You know,
okay.
Well, there was a time when everyone would bitch about the government, not just those people in the opposing party. And it seems that we've gotten so tribal. I think it's both sides are guilty of this one. I will play, you know, both sides are the same boat on this issue. What? We've dug in. You know, the Democrats won't criticize the Biden administration. That's ridiculous.
One side is saying that white people are literally going to be replaced and hosting. I'm not sure what a polite word is for what Trump hosted at Mar-a-Lago this weekend. One side is not doing that.
Hold on. Don't grab the most extreme example to paint that side. That's not a healthy generalization to undertake, right? I would venture to guess that most conservatives / most Republicans think it was a pretty stupid idea for the Donald to host Yay and whatever.
Nick Fuentes.
Yeah, whatever. I wasn't going to. He who shall not be named. What a piece of garbage, human garbage that guy is. But he speaks at CPAC. You're right. One party doesn't do that. You're right. My point being this, I don't think everybody in the Republican Party thinks that's a good idea. And I don't think everybody in the Democratic Party thinks that everything Biden does
don't have a strong enough statement or don't have a way to act against it. Enough people overlook it these people don't feel shame doing it.
Well, that's – I think you've got a real talent for drilling down to the nut of the problem. You really have. Of course, that's the problem. You know, you've had maybe you can count on the fingers of a drunken shop teacher how many Republicans have spoken out against former President Biden having a white nationalist and an anti-Semite over for dinner.
I'm going to form an indie folk band called Drunken Shop Teacher.
His name was Mr. Casey, and we remember him fondly. I had a shop teacher. I am not kidding you, Matt. He was my homeroom teacher in my junior year of high school. I went to a technical high school in Baltimore. I went to a school that taught academics, of course. We taught, mechanical engineering. We taught drawing. We taught surveying. We taught physics. We had a physics lab. We taught all the true academic disciplines. But we also taught welding. We taught foundry in this school. You know, we taught woodshop. All the different – it was a vocational technical school, a citywide school in the city of Baltimore, Baltimore Polytechnic Institute, all boys school, great school. The last Nobel Prize winner in science was from my high school. Thank you very much. And Mr. Casey was my shop teacher. And in the morning, in my junior year, when he was my homeroom teacher, I would take roll for Mr. Casey because he was halfway through his thermos by 7:45 in the morning. And you could have started a jet engine with what was inside his thermos. And Mr. Casey had three fingers on each hand. He taught wood shop. I'm telling you. Anyway, I digress. My point being that we are the healthiest when we can all find fault in those we support and champion, when we're not afraid to admit that some of the stuff up from the Biden administration is probably not how I'd go. It's probably may not be the best idea we've had. And
well,
I guarantee you,
I think plenty of Democrats, though, are not thrilled with Joe Biden.
Yeah,
he was not
yeah.
their superstar candidate.
Of course.
And a lot of these people that are people think that are on the fringes of the far left or that they identify as left are actually anarchists who wouldn't even believe in the voting system. And they definitely are not casting a vote for Uncle Joe. So as to where the fringes are with Biden, they have very little power.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
And I don't think that many Democrats were. In fact, I think there were exit polls. I was just reading today, state of Wisconsin. They said the majority of Wisconsin voters who pulled the lever for the Democrats were not greatly thrilled with their party. But in general, those are on matters of policy where they wish the party would be more aggressive or more in tune with the policy priorities of younger voters,
okay,
which makes them feel disenfranchised.
Right.
It's not the same thing to me.
No, most of the people pulling for the D were pulling against the election denying insurrectionists, steal the voters, those guys.
Right. But
yeah.
it doesn't mean that they're not Democrats, but it does
no,
mean that
you.
They're not. They don't feel. I think that a lot of it, and we saw this in the 2010 midterms, Democrats, especially younger Democrats, are people who generally vote Democratic, even if they're not party members.
Okay.
They generally get frustrated with the pace of change, which is why in 2010, when in 2 years Barack Obama was not able to accomplish some of the grandiose and some would say noble goals that he had, these people got frustrated, say, all right, the system doesn't work. I'm sitting this one out. I'm disenchanted. That's what you get. It's disenfranchisement based because they don't think the party is moving forward fast enough.
Well, that's true. And it's also a constant in politics that the what Mitch McConnell said in 2008 was that they became an anti-Obama party as opposed to a party of conservative values or fiscal responsibility. They became determined to make President Obama a one-term president and pushed back against the majority. And he had a full House and Senate along with the White House in Obama's first term, if I'm not mistaken. He had complete control of the government, and they tried to hamstring everything he did. Right? I think 2008 was a clean sweep for the Democrats, right? I know this year was, and 2020 was, and that just ended with us losing, with the Democrats losing the House of Representatives. You know, the party in opposition works against the goals of the betterment of the people. Was it you was telling me earlier about which house, which was it? Weren't going to do, West Virginia.
Right. Joe Manchin is a part of a permitting bill that he had struck a deal with Schumer on, wants to see this gas pipeline in West Virginia permitted. And it would increase, it would provide jobs for West Virginians. Yeah. It would be a good thing for them. And the GOP is in a position apparently to block this permitting bill, which would enable that to happen. And a GOP political consultant admitted to thehill.com, which is a reputable source, he admitted that the Republicans will never cooperate with Manchin on a bill that is good for the citizens of West Virginia because it would help him get reelected.
Right. They said the quiet part out loud. And again, that's not nothing. That's nothing new. Didn't he say it was going to be political malpractice by supporting something that would help a Democrat get reelected, even if it was for the best of the people of West Virginia? I mean, that's the ugly nature of politics. And the rationale behind that, I believe, the rationale behind that is that, you know, we feel that if we get a Republican in there, we can do more good. We can do more good for the constituents that support us, that back our agenda and our priorities. That thing, even though this pipeline would be in short term good for the people of West Virginia, they think that better for the people of West Virginia would be a Republican senator in the long term. That's how you rationalize voting against something that would help, genuinely help people. And I'm sure you can find examples where both parties have done this, where Democrats stood up against something that would have genuinely helped a lot of people because it was a Republican agenda, a Republican priority, and they didn't want to give the Republicans a win. That's kind of the nature, and you do it, justify that by saying, well, once we get in power and control everything, we can start to do things that are important to us, like lift restrictions on business, like protect the right to life, pro-life, you know. And that's their agenda. That's what their voters want. It's a representative democracy. You're supposed to do what your voters want. I mean, I've said this before. You know, Marjorie Taylor Greene is the perfect representative for the people of the Georgia Third because they're morons. I'm sorry, but if this is who your standard bearer is and you take pride in how this person handles himself, how they speak, the things they say in public that are blatantly false, sometimes crazy, the conspiracy theories, the violence mongering, you know, if this is who truly represents you, this is who you voted for, you know, in a landslide, then, you know, then she is a true representation of the people of that district. You know, so it's representative democracy. The problem is you got to keep those people limited in what they can do. You have to not let them steer the ship. It's okay to have a couple knuckleheads in the boat, but you really want them manning the oars, not the rudder. You know? It helps us all move forward if whoever's got the rudder of the ship, the wheel, the helm, at least is charting a course forward for everybody on the boat. Is that a fair enough analogy? I hope so. You know, we like talking politics around here, but I really do like the fact that we can be inclusive, that we can be empathetic to the other point of view, that we can discuss rationally and respectfully with each other, that we can play horrible Genesis songs.
The best Genesis song.
I should make you open up with Carpet Crawlers when we come back, and I'll show you the best damn Genesis song. Anywho, and then there's this, the great, great, great Don Henley. Our band used to do this, Dirty Laundry. Great tune, man.
Don Henley is an example of overlooking the artist for their art sometimes.
What? What?
Sometimes he was not the nicest person. Are you aware?
Oh, no. He was an absolute piece of garbage. Him and Fried both. They ran the Eagles like a, oh my gosh. They ran a tight-ass ship. I've told you that story too, right? How they fired Randy Meisner, because he was hungover and couldn't hit one note one night. And Gunfight booted a founding member from the band. Guy had standards, man. Guy had standards, but you don't get to be great unless you have standards. Got to hold your standards. Anyway.
Hence why I hold to mine very strongly.
Yes, you do, my friend. You play all the garbage Genesis you want.
That's my producer privilege.
It's Cairo Nights. I'm Spike O'Neill with Matt Butler. We'll be right back.
I figured this debate out and what it boils down to.
What?
Genesis was really two bands, in a sense. Would you agree with that?
You know, yeah, I could see the Gabriel/Collins Genesis.
Right,
Harris.
Okay, because there was a Prague Genesis, which is what you love,
and then
there was the MTV era Genesis. So they're definitely two separate bands, and I would say probably almost two separate fan bases.
But to be fair and accurate, that track you just heard, Carpet Crawlers, Phil Collins is the drummer. Phil Collins was a founding drummer, founding member of Genesis.
No, I'm not saying it's not the same band. I'm saying it's a different sound.
I get you. And that's a fair and accurate thing to say. Much like AC/DC was different with Bon Scott than they were with Brian Johnson. Much like saying that Van Halen is different than Van Hagar. I'll give you those. You're absolutely right. I love the prog Genesis, yeah. And I didn't mind the MTV Genesis. There's some good stuff. Because Phil Collins was the singer in, like, Follow You, Follow Me, because Gabriel left relatively early in Genesis's evolution, and Phil Collins was still a prog Genesis frontman, you know, so, but you're right, though, the MTV, there was a, and that's just our age, buddy, that's just, you know.
I just remember growing up and hearing that song on the radio. Like the song we just played.
Yeah. Oh, deep cut. You'll never hear that on the radio
when I was a kid.
You had to pay top dollar on a charity day where we'll play anything for cash. And I have paid to hear that song on the radio during the fund drive for whatever harvest,
In fairness, I would pay or support you paying to hear that song. I wouldn't actually pay to hear I Can't Dance.
Well, because you're going to play it every 18 minutes, whether you paid for it or not.
Well, pretty much.
Oh, and hey, listen, speaking of fundraising and that time of year, Holiday Magic's coming. We'll give you more information tomorrow. We'll start telling you what's going to happen. It's a really special time of the year, and at Cairo News Radio, we take our community very seriously, our community involvement very seriously. And the entire station is going to make an incredible effort as a team, as a family, for a very worthwhile cause. And there'll be more information coming tomorrow, I think, is when we officially launch. So I'm not going to...
Just curious, was signing us to do this show a part of the charity outreach or not?
Yes. Yes, it is. Community service. I think our boss is staying out of jail by putting us on air. I think his ex was... And it's ironic because we're like the best chance he's got to land in jail is you and I. It's funny how that works out, isn't it? Yeah. There'll be tremendous experiential opportunities for you to take part in, and it's all to raise money for a very worthwhile cause. Again, we'll talk more about that tomorrow. Tomorrow is Giving Tuesday, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Because this is Cyber Monday, and we had Black Friday, and I said Last Chance Tuesday, as a bit of a lark, but tomorrow's Giving Tuesday. Do these days really still have any meaning, do you think?
No.
Does Black Friday have any meaning anymore? Cyber Monday have any meaning?
Spike, does life have any meaning?
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
You open the window.
Play that Genesis song again. Play Dance on a Volcano. Play Squonk. These days, and I wonder if Black Friday has a meaning, because there was nobody camped out waiting for super duper deals. They're all available online on Black Friday, not just Cyber Monday. You know, the sales start 3-4 days early for Black Friday. It was Black November, as I said, last hour. You know, so again, this is the time of year when we need to drive our economy. It's on us to go spend a little bit.
It's your patriotic duty to make rich people richer.
Well, in the world, hey, the guy making the TV sets you buy
is probably getting
in North Korea
cents on the dollar, living in poverty.
But no, I am
the Grinch.
No, I mean the guy working at, you know, TV Land, you know, Best Vision, World Buy, whatever you call it, you know.
The ones that are still open, right, because online retail and Amazon killed that.
They need us there.
I remember as a kid when I was excited to go to Radio Shack and Circuit City and Best Buy.
Yeah.
Like, that was a big deal.
I've told you that my father managed Radio Shack stores when I was a kid, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I spent more than my fair share of time at a Radio Shack store.
Half the catalog would go on my Christmas list. Those were good times. I miss everything. I miss everything. Like, everything after 2020 is freaking garbage. Let's go back.
We did flush the world. I want to get off. Yeah. I couldn't tell you how many science fair kits I got from Radio Shack for Christmas. You know, build your own radio, build your own amplifier.
I had that.
Of course you did. I had
the electronics kit with the thing where you could make the little very micro power AM radio station.
501 experiment. You bet, man. I had it too.
Yeah, I totally did that.
You bet. The boards with little transistors and stuff.
Yeah, I had all that.
Yep. I told you my dad was an audiophile, right? My dad was he was born to manage a Radio Shack store. He eventually made his real living and had his greatest success as a manager of car dealerships. My dad managed a bunch of car dealerships. That's how I kind of got my foot in the door of retail and car sales and learning to lie to people for a living, like I do tonight. I've worked it well. It was a lot of lying back in the car business in those days. It's changed. It's evolved. But to the larger point, we all need to drive the economy this holiday season. It's not just the guy making 18 cents a month in, you know, South Korea, not North. We don't buy TVs from North Korea. They only get one channel and Kim Jong-un's on it. We buy our TVs from South Korea or Japan or China, wherever it might be. And the guy who sells it at the store, guy who delivers it to our house, all these people are, you know, part of the economic chain that we kind of need to, you know, juice the goose there, you know? Kind of need to get out there and spend a little bit and not overdo it. We don't need to overdo it. Gosh, credit card rates are up in the high 24s, 25s. 27s, I've heard 32 for some credit card rates now, because as the interest rate goes up.
For some people, holiday shopping is simply their version of a hangover that you get January 1st after you've partied and you've gone all out, and then start getting the bills. And like the first 3 months of the new year are painful if you're not savvy in your spending.
Absolutely. And Americans, that's what we do. And, you know, if, I'm not telling anybody to go into debt where you have to, you know, pay the price and never get caught up, because that's what happens with folks with credit card debt. I pity anybody with credit card debt. You know what's, I mean, we live very frugally, believe it or not, at our place. My wife and I, we, you know, we've been through the ringer the last few years. I've made no secret about that. But we don't have any credit cards, not a single bit of credit card debt, not one.
Now, is that hard? Because there are some advantages, like, to having some credit, because you have to have a credit score to do so many things nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, I've got an excellent credit score.
So it's just that you don't overuse or abuse or actually use your credit cards.
We have one card we don't use. And if we buy something, we'll pay it off. If I have cash to pay for something, I'll pay for it with a credit card and pay it off immediately.
You're not one of these people that games it for points and does all of that
thing. No, I've never been a chase the dragon for miles or points.
See, I kind of am with airline miles and hotel points.
That's not bad.
But you have to be savvy about doing that and paying it off to avoid the crushing interest.
But you know what, though? That's a great point, because if I had a card that paid me miles and put all the gas we use, because we both burn gas guzzlers, my wife and I, because we have older paid-for cars. We don't have any car payments. We don't have any credit card debt. But if I charged all the gas I put in my cars, both vehicles, and my daughter too, by the way, that's it's a different show topic. If I bought them all on credit and paid them off immediately before the bill came due, I'd pay no interest, and I'd get I get free airlines all the time. I get free flights all the time.
But it only works if you're a very self-disciplined person, like it sounds like you and your wife are. Some people can't handle that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, I'm missing an opportunity to take advantage of flying on a card for miles and paying it off immediately, never paying a dime of interest on it, and just accruing those miles.
Can we both agree that this song is awesome?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah, this is a great, great tune. I've always loved Genesis, even the Phil Collins years. I always thought My Can Dance was just a little too easy for them. You know, maybe that's what I resented.
Yes, you know? But making great pop music is not easy. You have to have a great hook. You have to do really smart things to have a hit pop song.
You remember the video for Land of Confusion?
Yes.
Oh my God! Brilliant! Brilliant! I'm a huge Peter Gabriel fan. Oh. We saw a band called Musical Box, and they're a Genesis cover band, but they recreate entire live Genesis shows from the Peter Gabriel era. They have purchased the costumes and stage props from Genesis and from Gabriel to do these actual recreations of, and they're spot-on performances. I mean, scary good. It's a little bit of time traveling. Right balance of mushroom and NyQuil, you're right back there, man. It's fabulous.
Stop giving away my after-show rituals.
It's Cairo Nights. We'll be right back. Here's a little something we couldn't have played for you today.
The wife is missing. Didn't ask for her permission. I'm wearing her clothes, her silk pantyhose, walking around in women's underwear. In the store, there's a teddy with little straps like spaghetti. It holds me so tight, like handcuffs at night. Walking around in women's underwear.
In the office there's a guy named Melvin. He pretends that I am Murphy Brown.
He'll say, are you ready? We'll say,
Whoa, man. Let's wait until the wife is out of town. Later on, if you wanna, we can dress like Madonna. Put on some high shade and join the parade. Walking round in women's underwear. Lacy things, missing. Wearing her clothes, silk pantyhose, walking round in women's underwear, walking round in women's underwear, walking round in women's underwear.
Ha, warms your heart, doesn't it?
That's the only thing that's warm. Oh. I was talking to the boss tonight. Welcome back to Kyra Nights. It's time to take a look at what you said to the show tonight. Yeah, it's time for text ed, textual education. Charlie and I were talking about how we couldn't make that song today. You know, we're such a easily offended, closed down society. And I guess that's what some people mean when they say woke. But that song is, I think, not derogatory. I think that song isn't demeaning. I hope.
It's celebrating diversity in fashion.
I wrote it, you know, well, with help from Joe and Bob.
I have to ask, that song was a big, like, I remember growing up hearing that on radio stations in, like, southern Mississippi. That song must have been a big deal for you guys.
That was pretty, I don't know if I've told you the story of Harry Shearer coming to our morning show.
Oh, yeah, the credibility gap guy, LeShow. Yeah, great. Oh, he's brilliant.
All the Christopher Guest movies.
Yes.
You know, he was the DJ in Wayne's World. You know, he's one of a thousand voices on The Simpsons. Excuse me. Harry Shearer came to town with his wife, Judith. They do a Christmas show. I think they still do it, if I'm not mistaken. They do Christmas music and comedy stuff. And he came out and joined the show one morning. He said, I have to tell you the story. He says, I'm at Don Henley's Christmas party, and we're playing the piano, and someone's always playing the piano at Don Henley's Christmas party and singing Christmas carols, and somebody started singing that instead of Winter Wonderland, started singing Women's Underwear, and half the room joined in because they knew the words. At Don Henley's Christmas party, that was one of the proudest moments of my life.
I bet. You know, it's amazing to release something that's a goof and see it impact that widely, that people know your song.
You know, and we lived in an era where this is kind of like, as we evolve and our culture grows and expands, there's a song we can't play, and it's to the tune of Feliz Navidad, and it's Police Stop My Car. You know, and it's sung in a Hispanic accent, and I would never do that today because I'm woke. I guess. But we couldn't have done that.
But isn't it funny, though, that some of that stuff has become that way, even if the intent was actually pointing out a true stereotype a true struggle?
Absolutely.
Of the context and it's just interesting how these things evolve.
It is. And they should. They should evolve. I don't feel bad that I can't do a bit today as a Kuwaiti camel renter, that I can't do a song today in a Mexican accent. I don't feel bad about that at all. I'll have to work a little harder. And someone texted, did Alan White play drums on that song? I don't know that he did. I apologize. I'll ask Bob Rivers.
What type of person, though, is going over there not only to the games but also to the World Cup but also paying for these experiences? Maybe this is me being broadly stereotypical, but I think it's people with more money than sense who just want to do stuff for Instagram.
Oh, I know. You know what? I read this story about, you're talking about the Kuwait and the, excuse me, the Kuwait, sorry. The Qatar, the camel rides, and those people who want the consummate desert experience. The story I saw was just normal folks from South America, from Brazil, from Mexico, from Europe, from Germany, from Italy, from the countries that are, you know, traveling to that country to watch their team play in the World Cup.
Really? Because I would have thought it would have been these elitist show-offs.
I would think so, too, but it wasn't. It was women from America that were going over there to watch. Okay, elitist, fair enough.
We can't say Karens anymore, can we?
Yeah, no, we can't.
Oh, okay.
But these are people that just wanted to take a ride on a camel in the desert. I've got a really dear family friend who went over to one of the Middle Eastern countries. I don't know which one it was, but did a camel ride. When I was in Africa, I rode on the back of an elephant. Part of a culture, you know, that was, and I'm sure, you know, the elephants were treated nicely, I guess. I hope.
You would hope.
I would hope. Because I don't think it would just wreak havoc. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, they do have long memories.
We didn't get to your text tonight, and some of them were very combative. Some of them were wonderful.
Oh, don't worry, Spike. I got to the text.
Yeah, I know you did. But I like to acknowledge all of you who did text in. I will, for a selfish moment, say to Barbara, thank you for the kind words regarding me honoring my wife's, you know, wishes not to go all Christmassy this year because it's the first one without her dad. And Barbara, that touched her heart, she says. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you sharing that with me. It's been a fun time.
You make it sound so final.
I know, right? It's been good.
Life's been good.
So far. But after that last song, I don't know, we'll be here tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow at 7, see if we kept our jobs. It's Cairo Nights. We'll see you tomorrow, maybe?
Tune in and find out.